Well, Shabbat Shalom. We are back from Israel after completing a triumphant 53rd gospel outreach to the Jewish people and the Arab people in Israel. Our ministry is simply to follow the divine order of evangelism given in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And they usually cut it off there. Whenever you hear ministers quote that passage, they cut it off there. But they should go further to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. And so this is... No, he was testing that. So this is what we do. We take the gospel to the Jew first. And not many ministries in the church do that. And I have to quote my co-laborer, Dr. August Rosato of Today in Bible Prophecy. Over the last 2,000 years, sadly, the church gets an F- when it comes to evangelizing and witnessing to the Jewish people. Too many unsaved people thought they could do it by force at the tip of the sword of the Crusaders or just eliminate them altogether through the crematoriums of Auschwitz and Treblinka and the other concentration camps. We are to take the gospel to them and show them that the gospel is the natural outgrowth and the fulfillment of biblical Judaism. The new covenant, the Berit Chadashah, was promised to Bet Israel, the house of Israel. Don't forget also that the first Christians were Jews. The first church was in Jerusalem. And from Matthew chapter 10 all the way to Acts 10, the gospel was largely confined to a Jewish audience. In Acts 10, of course, Peter's given the vision at Simon the Tanner's house to take this gospel now to the Gentile world. But prior to that, from Matthew 10 to Acts 10, the gospel was largely confined to a Jewish audience. Jesus said twice in the Gospel of Matthew that he was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yes, he did minister to some Gentiles, but that was the exception rather than the rule. His mission was to go first to his own people, the Jewish people, and offer them the messianic kingdom conditioned upon their repentance and faith. And he came saying in Mark 1:14, repent and believe the gospel. That was to the Jewish nation. And this, we carry out this same type of ministry to the Jewish people. And, you know, I love to use sports analogies to illustrate the importance of what we do in Israel. And recently when I got back, I watched a sports documentary on the great baseball player Reggie Jackson. And they called him Mr. October because he'd come through in October and win a World Series. He won several World Series with the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees. And obviously a Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest to ever play the game. He said this in the documentary, and I think it's somewhat applicable to these outreaches that we do three times a year to Israel. Reggie Jackson said this concerning being a champion and playing great. He said, I determine my success on winning. I could be great if we won. It's about being a champion. Then the next thing is, can you be a dominant champion? And how good are you to do it again? With that said, folks, we had our second consecutive perfect gospel outreach. We witnessed a 37 consecutive people, mostly Jews, some Arabs, without one rejection. Most of them received Bibles. A few of them received gospel tracts, but not one rejection. That's pretty amazing when you consider that the gospel message is offensive to the natural man. And we don't preach a feel-good gospel like that's so rife in the church today. We simply tell them the gospel and then reinforce that with the scriptures we give them and the messianic gospel tracts that we hand to them. So what a powerful outreach we had. Little did we think that we would go have a second consecutive outreach. So we're now at 73-0. Last outreach, we were 36-0. This time, 37. Do the math. 73-0. The record is 91 people that we've witnessed to consecutive before without a rejection. I know it's not about records, but it certainly makes it sweet when you can do the Super Bowl of ministry, which this is, and I say that without apology, and have that kind of receptivity. And quite frankly and ironically, the lost sheep of the house of Israel are more open to this ministry than Christians here in America. We had Christians actually opposing us. Well, you can't go over there. It's against the law to preach the gospel, which it is not. They've been trying to pass legislation for decades, trying to outlaw people preaching the gospel. Now, you can't preach to minors and offer them gifts, or the elderly, bribe them, in effect, to convert. Of course, we don't do that. But anyway, recently, two ultra-Orthodox Jews in the Knesset tried to pass they tried to introduce legislation that would make sharing the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach in Israel illegal. And we were telling everybody that we're, you know, thinking they were warning us over here, as if we didn't know this before, that if they pass this, it could be devastating to your ministry. I had one person message me with that. It's like, thanks for the encouragement. And I said, so what? It's not going to be devastating. Acts 5:29 will kick in. Then we ought to obey God rather than man. And we'll still do this ministry, even if we have to risk arrest. And I was almost arrested twice over there doing this ministry. One time at the hotel, the Western Wall, and another time at a shopping center in Tel Aviv. And I wasn't out there with a bullhorn screaming and yelling, and not at all. You can't. Normally, the way you do ministry in the West, you cannot do it in the Middle East with the Jewish people and the Arab people. It's a totally different approach and methodology, and you'll see how we do it here. So, with all that said, we left for Israel on March 13th, and after going without sleep for almost 24 hours, August Rosado and I finally arrived in the glorious land that Daniel calls twice in his book, chapter 11. And we were exhausted but quickened by God's Spirit. And we were able to pass out four complete Hebrew Bibles with Messianic gospel tracts and study and present a strong gospel message to four Israelis. When we landed in Israel, two you see here, two men, Eldan and Raphael, working at the Eurocar rental place at Ben Gurion Airport. Both men were elated and open to hear and happy to hear about our gratitude and love for the Jewish people, primarily for giving us God's Word and Yeshua the Messiah, Romans 3, 1 through 3 and Romans 9, 1 through 5. Eldad and Raphael were open and happy to hear our gospel message and receive the Jewish Bible to learn more about Yeshua, the prophesied Messiah. So they were very eager and open to hear that. And by the way, we saw Eldad leaving 14 days later. We saw him again, and he had already started reading the Hebrew Bible we gave him, which we, of course, tell them that this Bible we're giving you does include the Berit HaDashah, because that completes and fulfills the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. So, leaving there, this ministry was able to visit the four-story Dizengoff Mall in Tel Aviv, where again the Lord led August and I to bring the good news of Jesus to two young Israeli ladies there, one by the name of Sarah and Sharon. Both were open to learn why from Scripture this Jesus is the Messiah, as foretold in the Tanakh and gloriously fulfilled in the Berit HaDashah. Praise God, they too received Bibles and Messianic gospel tracts from us. And this is one of the ladies we met here, Sharon, in this sunglasses shop. And moving on, the other one we did photograph. This was Sarah. And you see here, we wrote her a nice little note encouraging her to read the Word of God here. That's Sharon. And you see the tracts there. So this gospel mostly is planting seed, much more than it is reaping like in the West. But we do reap from time to time, but it's mostly planting seed. One is not more important than the other. Remember what Paul said, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gives the increase. And so that's what a great start to this 53rd gospel outreach. We get there totally exhausted, but the Lord gave us the energy and the anointing to work through the exhaustion and begin our outreach in Tel Aviv. So the next day was a fantastic second day of gospel ministry in Israel. August and I were able to share with Itamar, the bellboy you see here. He helped August and I load and carry our luggage and box of Hebrew Bibles from our hotel room to the car. Once that was done, we boldly shared with this young man about the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah for the salvation of Israel, for Jew and Gentile. Itamar was all ears over this, and he received a copy of God's Word from us to be instructed in the way. So we, after we left the hotel, checked out there, we were only there for one night, we went to the mall that's near there. We often go there because it's a good spiritual fishing hole. And let's see, go to the next one. Yep. Okay, so in Netanya, the Spirit of God led us to a jewelry kiosk in a shopping mall where this ministry has had previous success. Working at the kiosk was a young, bright Israeli lady by the name of Gaia. You see her there. August and I were utterly astounded when we broached the subject of Yeshua being the bridge of both testaments of the Hebrew Bible, and she forthrightly said that he completes and connects both, that the Messiah does. Pretty amazing for a secular Jew to realize that. Gaia also mentioned she had read selected historical sections of the New Testament in school. So right there, the Lord had prepared her for further knowledge of this through this ministry. She also agreed with us about the parochial mindset and unbelief of the rabbis in Israel. They collectively have towards Yeshua. She said they were primitive, quote unquote, primitive when it came to approaching Yeshua. And this is an unsaved Israeli saying this. And this prompted me to say that her recognition of these things made her not far from the kingdom of God. I said, Gaia, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And we told her to better her understanding and to get a clear and complete picture of this Messiah of the Jewish Bible. August and I suggested she read both Testaments together in one bound volume as they converge on Messiah Jesus. And Gaia graciously accepted our gift of a complete Jewish Bible with Messianic reading materials to begin this journey into salvation by faith in Jesus the Messiah as revealed from Genesis to Revelation. So praise God for that. And so then we went visited another place called the Gentleman's Store, and they sell knickknacks for men and stuff. And we had good ministry there before with a young man named Ronan, who immigrated from Russia, and he was very open. We found out he was an atheist from this gentleman, the owner of the store. And but our intention was to revisit Ronan at the store. We had ministry with him in October of 2022, that gospel outreach. He was not there yet, but we met the owner of the shop right here, Aviv. And he too, like Ronan, was totally open to the evidence of how fulfilled prophecy made in the Tanakh proves beyond any reasonable doubt that Yeshua is the one and only true Messiah of Israel. And just like Gaia, he too acknowledged on his own that both testaments of the Jewish Bible are inseparably tied and bound together by the Messiah of Israel. Aviv affirmed it is not a religion, but a relationship with Hashem based on the Bible that really matters in the end. We concurred, but added that this personal relationship with God is provided through the God-man Jesus, who brought us back into a personal relationship with the God of Israel. And to facilitate this for Aviv, he too also took, as you see him proudly holding in here, a free, complete Hebrew Bible without hesitation and openness to believe whom Moses and the prophets foretold about in the pages of God's Word. Amen. So that was a good ministry there. This is another good fishing hole. We call it the Hangar Deck Mall because it looks like a huge airplane hangar. Unlike here, malls thrive over there. You know, many of the malls in this city have closed down and throughout the nation because they're just people get more stuff on the internet. But not in Israel. The malls are certainly still popular over there. All right, well, from there we traveled to Nazareth and ventured into another shopping location and met Muhammad. Right here you see me talking to him. Obviously, he's a Muslim. But that proved to be no hindrance to us sharing boldly, sharing the gospel with him, emphasizing the fact Jesus is God's one and only Son. We make it a point to do that with Muslims. And you know why, of course, don't you? Because Islam denies the divinity and unique sonship of Jesus being God's one and only Son. And so we were able to give him a Bible and with it an Arabic gospel tract about the life of Isa. That's Arabic for Jesus. We gave him this tract, and it shows what Yeshua or Isa did for the salvation of sinners. So may God's Spirit convict Muhammad and bring him to a saving faith through the gospel spoken and given to him by the spoken and published word this ministry gave to him. So the next day we are in Tiberias. As we were going to the hotel, you can't see it here, but there's a rainbow arc there and a rainbow arc there. It was a double rainbow. So we took that picture reminding us not of the LGBTQ, but of the Noahic covenant. That's what the rainbow means. It is God's covenant with mankind that he will never flood the earth again with a global flood. But that was over the Sea of Galilee or Lake Kinneret. Kinneret means harp in Hebrew, and it's called Lake Kinneret because from an aerial view, the sea or the Lake of Galilee looks like a harp, hence the name Kinneret. Gospel ministry was triumphant. On that day, the Spirit of God led us to a gift shop in Naf Ginassar Kibbutz, where we met Alex. Alex told us she was a German Jew who immigrated to Israel several years ago. August and I perceived she was open to our gospel ministry. We informed her that we frequently travel to Israel to teach God's word and bear witness to Yeshua the Messiah and bring that witness to his people. We pointed out to Alex that the Lord Jesus performed some of his 18. He performed 18 out of his 37 miracles in and around the Sea of Galilee. Most of Yeshua's ministry was in the Galilee. And we also told her that. She affirmed this fact as well. We were then able to show her some of the major messianic prophecies from the Tanakh that Jesus alone fulfilled in the Berit Hadashah. Alex saw this for herself, and she commented that both parallel each other in Jesus the Messiah. Once we showed her that, she made that deduction on her own and said that. So the Holy Spirit obviously is opening her eyes here. And August and I invited Alex to dig deeper into God's Word to solidify the fact Jesus is the Messiah of the Jewish people. And our invitation was enthusiastically taken up by her as she received a complete Jewish Bible from us. That, by the way, includes, these Bibles include an excellent appendix listing and explaining each major messianic prophecy that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled. And so we left there and headed for, it's called the Big Mall in Tiberias. And that can be a tough place to witness because Tiberias is one of the four cities of Orthodox Judaism. There are four cities in Israel: Jerusalem, Tiberias, Safat, and Hebron. And Tiberias, the mall there, can be a tough nut to crack. But every time we've gone in the past 5 years, the Lord has opened a door. So we traveled to the Big Mall in Tiberias to share the gospel and bear witness from Scripture about Jesus the Messiah. The Lord led us to a sunglasses shop, and there we met two young Israeli workers. Their names were Celine and Christina. August and I started off by telling them we regularly come to Israel to humbly educate the Jewish people about the greatest Jewish person of all, Yeshua of Nazareth. He is the only one to split history into two periods. We shared with both ladies that fulfilled prophecy of Messiah revealed in the Tanakh. That's, Jews call that, we call it the Old Testament, they call it the Tanakh. That the fulfilled prophecy of Messiah revealed in the Tanakh points and proves Jesus to be the only and true Messiah of Israel. And then, of course, as we always do, we humbly challenge them to know this for themselves and to read the Scriptures, to see it for themselves and recognize this all-important saving truth. So to that end, we offered both Celine and Christine complete Hebrew Bibles and Messianic Gospel tracts so that they could acquaint themselves with the Jewish Gospel of Yeshua, the Messiah, which they accepted with joy and excitement as they heard about so great a God and Savior that came from the people of Israel. So that was good. And we did August and I, when we finished with ministry for the day, sometimes we'll do a YouTube teaching at the biblical sites. This is actually a site where a crusader battle was fought in 1187. The battle, this is called the Horns of Hattin, and a battle was fought there between the crusaders, Roman Catholic European soldiers, and Saladin the Great and the Muslims. And the crusaders were defeated there. If you're interested, that teaching is on August Rosado's YouTube page. We talk about the fiasco and failure of the Crusades and why God was not in it. And anyway, and how it, unfortunately, much of it was anti-Semitic, but that's the side of the battle that took place there. All right. Well, as this ministry does on every gospel outreach to the Jewish people in Israel, we make it a point to drive up to the precipitous Mount Hermon, a mountain in far north Israel, 9,200 feet in elevation. They do have skiing up there during the winter. We go up there to visit the IDF at the military base located there. And before leaving there, however, the Lord to Mount Hermon, the Lord gave us the opportunity to briefly share the gospel with Miles, the attendant at the gas station we stopped at to fill up our tank with gas. He was Arab, and we decided to witness to him since he was very helpful to us with the car. He told us he had the Bible in Arabic, but could read Hebrew. So August and I gave him a complete Hebrew Bible and an Arabic gospel tract to make sure he knew what the gospel of Jesus is and how it can save him. Because a lot of these Arabs who are Christian, like here in America, they're name-only Christians. They haven't been born again. They don't have a personal relationship with Yeshua. He was wearing that, so that's what tipped us off that he was probably Arab Catholic or Arab Orthodox Christian. But he did hear the gospel, and he did receive the Bible and an Arabic gospel tract. And so that's good. We don't leave out the Arab people. Some people have accused us of just going to the Jews only. No, we don't. We go to them first, but we also go to non-Jews, and the Arabs make up the second most populated people in Israel after the Jewish people. So we arrived at Mount Hermon, and we approached the IDF at their guardhouse, and we were greeted by two friendly soldiers by the names of Avador and Tal. They were beaming over the fact we shared our support for what they do in the army, fighting and defending the only real democracy in the Middle East. We brought water, snacks, and snacks for the soldiers to enjoy, but we also pointed out to them that we also brought a complete Jewish Bible for each of them, which includes the good news of Yeshua the Messiah in the New Testament, written by the Jewish followers of Jesus. So we make sure they get a little physical food, but plenty of spiritual food, by giving them copies of God's Word. As we do every time on Mount Hermon, August and I both told the two soldiers about Mount Hermon being the actual site, and it is, where in Matthew 17, Yeshua was transformed to reveal the glory of God with Moshe, or Moses, and Eliyahu, Elijah. They both were standing on each side of Jesus. We told them this was done to validate that both the law and the prophets foretold the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah, Luke 9:30-31. Avidor said he had already knew about this. Both soldiers, though, seized the opportunity of accepting the Bibles we included with the snacks to learn more about the phenomenal life and times of Jesus the Messiah. Pray for their safety and salvation as we planted the gospel seed in their lives. So that was, we always have good ministry up there. Every time we've been up there, we've never had a complete rejection. There was one instance, 1 year, where we gave out 5 Bibles to the IDF soldiers, and then their commanding officer raced down and blocked us and returned 4 of the 5 back. So one of them kept the Bibles. So he was a total antichrist. Anyway, that's another story. But we've never had any complete rejections on Mount Hermon. And again, we've been doing this for 23 years. We're a ministry that stands on our own. We don't need to shop and look for other ministries to work with because we stand on our own. And we do things the way the Lord leads us. We don't have to ask permission from some superior. That was a great time of ministry with these 2 soldiers, so please pray for them. So heading back towards Kiryat Shemona, a town below Mount Hermon, we decided to revisit a restaurant where we've had good ministry before among receptive Israelis. This time was no different. We met Shelley, our waitress you see pictured here. She was a horse trainer and a seasoned equestrian. Our window in the restaurant had a perfect view of Mount Hermon in the distance, which then led us to tell her also about Yeshua and the Mount of Transfiguration there. This further led us to share with Shelley what God did for her salvation when He sent Yeshua the Messiah into the world. She likewise listened to our gospel presentation within the context of the Jewish scriptures. Her happy response then led her to also accept the Word of God in Hebrew from our hands with the hope it will lead to her salvation. You see August sharing with her there the Word of God, and he's about ready to give her the Word of God. Amen. So then that was our ministry in Tiberias, Mount Hermon, the Galilee, and this is heading back from Mount Hermon. There you see the beautiful Sea of Galilee or Lake Kinneret as we head back for the hotel during the day. So the next day, August and I headed for Jerusalem. But before we did that, we went to a gift shop where the Jesus boat is. The Jesus boat is a boat that they discovered in the early 1990s. Fishermen accidentally discovered it when the Sea of Galilee was really low. And it happened to be a wooden boat that dates to the time of Jesus, a fishing boat. And so they spent over a decade preserving it, and now it's on display at this gift shop and museum behind our kibbutz we were staying at, Naf Gennesaret Kibbutz. I briefly witnessed to this lady. She said she was already a Christian. She did accept a tract, but she did not receive a Bible. She did say she was a Christian because she was baptized, which led us to believe, you know, she really didn't understand the gospel. If she thinks baptism saves you, which it doesn't. But we witnessed to her briefly. All right, moving on. Before we set out for Jerusalem, we had to stop at a place called Yardenet. It's a location where a gift shop is located and along the Jordan River where Christians can come to northern Galilee and be baptized. We baptized the Zola Levitt group there when they travel with us. The community is run by Christians with some secular Jews that work there. I had left my Bible there 2 days before when August and I water baptized the pilgrims with the Zola Levitt group. August and I arrived, and one employee went to the lost and found to see if my Bible was there. While she was gone doing that, we struck up another conversation with an Armenian lady by the name of Silva, and inevitably the conversation turned to us telling her Yeshua spent most of his ministry time in the Galilee area in fulfillment of the messianic prophecy of Isaiah 9:1-2. That messianic prophecy tells us that the ministry of Messiah will begin in the Galilee. August and I went over several Messianic prophecies with her and how it relates to the biblical gospel. She was thrilled to accept a Bible from us with gospel tracts. So then the lady who went to the Lost and Found came back to tell me my Bible was not found there. So we turned this negative situation into a positive result. We also shared with her the gospel from a Jewish perspective, observing that the Old Testament is, go ahead and switch it, the Old Testament is concealed in the New Testament, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed by way of Messianic prophecy. The lady's name was Dana, you see her here. She was a Romanian Jew who made Aliyah to Israel decades ago. She too received a Hebrew Bible and Messianic gospel tracts with her telling us that she told us she had only read the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, she said, but would now read the New Testament after what we revealed to her about the prophesied Messiah of both Testaments. So praise God for that. Lastly, before we had a mini revival there. Lastly, August and I then ran into an old acquaintance of mine named Linda, who used to work at the Galilee Experience. It's a Messianic bookstore that's now closed, but we knew her from there. At that time that I did meet her at the Galilee Experience some 7 years ago, she told me she was on the fence about believing in Yeshua. Now, when asked, Linda said she became a believer and welcomed our gospel witness and warmly accepted a Bible, Messianic gospel tracts, and a ministry newsletter of Berit Chadashah. What a powerful time of gospel ministry we had at Yardenet, full of open Israelis, ready to hear the gospel and receive God's written word. And that wouldn't have happened unless I lost my Bible, which I replaced when I got back. All right. So this is our way going down Highway 90 south to Jerusalem. This would be the so-called West Bank. And it's not, it's Judea and Samaria. That's the biblical names for it. You see how verdant and green it is during the spring. The Holy Land blossoms vibrantly. Okay, so our first full day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem went to both Jew and Gentile, equally demonstrating the love of God for both people groups. It all started in the morning in the dining hall while August and I were having breakfast. Our server was a young Arab Muslim by the name of Wissam. He was so attentive at our table that we decided to tip him in the hotel. But we used this to further share with him what Esau, again, that's Arabic for Jesus, what Esau did for Wissam's salvation. August and I briefly went through the gospel story revealed through the life of Yeshua of Nazareth based on an Arabic gospel tract we had with us, which we gave to him. We also gave him a Hebrew Bible after Wissam told us that he does read Hebrew. We emphasize with him as well that Jesus is the Son of God and greater than all who came before him or after him. We saw him receive the scriptures after our witness to him. And so then we went upstairs, pray every day before we go out and do ministry for God's leading, and without fail each time on these 53 gospel outreaches, God always comes through. And so we left. As we were leaving the hotel, walking in the hotel lobby, the Lord stopped us in our tracks to then give witness about Yeshua the Messiah to Aviva, an Ethiopian Jew. She was on the first day of her job with security. August and I expressed our gratitude for protecting all the guests of the hotel. Her question of why we frequently come to Israel so much obviously opened a door for August and I to say, we humbly come to Israel to bring Habesarah, Hebrew for the good news God has sent to the Jew first and the Gentiles. And that good news is Yeshua the Messiah came to save and reconcile us to the Father by His atoning death. This Messiah, of course, was foretold in Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, and historically fulfilled in the Berit Chadashah, the New Testament. But we were quick to offer Aviva a complete two Testament Bible in Hebrew with Messianic study aids to help her see this life-changing truth for herself. Aviva's response was, "Oh yes, the Berit Chadashah." She said that with full acceptance of what we gave her. This is good gospel seed we planted, and Lord willing, we plan on watering it in the future as we stay at this hotel on upcoming outreaches. Okay, so then we left the hotel and we went to Manila Mall on our way to the Kotel, or the Western Wall. And walking in the outdoor Manila Mall, August and I spotted Dana inside the Nautica clothes store, and we knew she would be open to gospel witness, and lo and behold, she was. August and I shared with her that God has restored the Jewish people back to the land He gave them through Avram for an everlasting covenant, according to Genesis 17:7 and 8. And this end-time regathering will happen right before the return and second coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, according to Deuteronomy 30:1-3. God says there that He, with compassion, He will restore Israel and will return. Notice, the regathering of Israel sequentially occurs before the return of Messiah. We're seeing that today. But we hasten to add that Yeshua came the first time, as the Hebrew Bible reveals, a Bible with two testaments, not just one. Dana was open to that fact as we related to her how that the fulfilled messianic prophecies prove Yeshua is in fact what He claimed to be, the Messiah of Israel and the world. Dana cheerfully accepted our invitation of taking a Hebrew Bible from us to read for herself in both Testaments, which God before in those Scriptures has showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Messiah should suffer. He has so fulfilled, Acts 3:17. So moving on from there, we made our way to the Western Wall. There you see the esplanade, or the plaza, as we go to the wall. Now, the Western Wall is the retaining wall that was built around the Second Temple. It is not part of the Temple. And that's important because Jesus prophesied because Israel rejected Him, they would be scattered and dispersed by the legions of Rome, and not one stone would be left upon another in the Temple. And south of that location, going that way, there's these huge Herodian stones from the temple piled up as giving a mute testimony to the accuracy and truthfulness of Jesus' prophecy when He said, "There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down," Matthew 24:1-2. But go ahead, Greg. And this is approaching the Western Wall. I put all of your prayer requests in that wall. Prayed for everybody in here that I'm looking at right now. Except for our new lady. Next time we'll get you. So, go ahead. And this is the teaching that I did at the wall. And the wall also includes a synagogue. I've actually had witness in here one time, and it's in my book, Messengers of Messiah, where the Orthodox asked me to help them form a minyan, where you get two men above 12 years of age to form a prayer, and we prayed the Tehillim, the Psalms, together. And after that, it led to me giving them a gospel presentation about Yeshua, and I gave a tract to one of the guys. So, Christians in the West, one of the reasons they don't go to the Jews is because they're bound up in fear. You know, what if I don't know enough? What if you know, I get arrested? What if, you know, they persecute me? All things that rarely happen to begin with. Okay. So that's the synagogue inside. You go in, there's a synagogue adjacent to the Western Wall. That's actually part of the wall. And go ahead. And as we do every time, we put a two Testament Hebrew Bible among the many volumes of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud. We put one in there surreptitiously. be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, right? And this is some of the, I believe these are naval officers praying at the wall. And, all right. One of the streets in the Jewish quarter of the old city. And it's wet, so you got to be really careful. I have never been to the burnt house before. Zola Levitt did a teaching here one time, and August has been in there, and he coaxed me into going in there. As many times as I've been to Israel, I've never been to the burnt house, but basically you see what it is. This was the house of a priest, a Kohen, during the Second Temple period, and his name was, that was the house of Cathros. They are mentioned in the Talmud and not in a good light. They were accused of being slanderers or misusing the pen. And the Romans, they lived in the upper quarter of the city during the time of Jesus and right up until 70 AD with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And the house belonged to a family of temple priests. Well, when the Romans made their way up to the upper part of the city, they set the house on fire. You can go in there. Go ahead, Greg. So, and that's an explanation. Go ahead. And this is some of the stuff they excavated. A Roman spear. I believe that's a weight with a priestly name on it. The sons of Cathros. And they excavated part of that house, and there are still charred beams down there. You can look and see the charred beams from that house left over by the Romans setting it ablaze. And they also found a woman's arm, a skeletal arm that the Romans had cut off. Go ahead. That's an escape tunnel. There's the charred beams from the house. It's from 70 A.D., and there was a sign, don't go back to it, but there's a sign there that said the reason why, according to the rabbis in the Talmud, the reason why God destroyed Jerusalem and allowed it to be destroyed by the Romans is because of baseless hatred between the factions of differing groups within the Jewish people at that time. Wrong. The reason why the Romans came and destroyed the city and the sanctuary was why they rejected Yeshua the Messiah. That's the reason. That's not politically correct for Christians to tell Jews today, but we're not about being politically correct. We're about being biblically correct. So that's the remains of the house. Part of it. Part of it. This was a gentleman that was very nice to us. He's an Arab, I don't want to say waiter, but he's in the lounge and he serves us drinks and snacks. And we've known him for about 5 years, and we finally decided to give him a Bible and witness to him. Like, why didn't we do this before? And he was very open. And it was to the point where God gave us favor that he wouldn't even charge us for drinks or snacks. He just said, don't worry about it. Well, the next day, God's divine appointment in this ministry left August and I in awe, sharing the gospel in Jerusalem. The hotel guest relations, Kinneret, she's in the middle there, her name's Kinneret, Illook, overheard August and I compliment one of the kitchen workers. She approached us to thank us concerning our kind comments to the young man at breakfast. She wanted us to give the hotel a good rating on TripAdvisor, which we did. Such an incident supernaturally led August and I to share with Kinneret about how the whole of the Hebrew Bible is God's redemption of mankind from sin by bringing Yeshua the Messiah into the world through the Jewish people. It is this Habeserah, that's Hebrew for gospel or good news, it is this Habeserah message that we bring back to Israel and to you, Kinneret. She was thrilled over this and was elated, almost in tears, when we handed her a beautiful Hebrew study Bible, disclosing the fact Yeshua is the true Messiah of Israel. She was so touched over what we shared with her that when we came back to the hotel room at the end of the day, Kinneret had room service leave us a fruit basket and a personal note from us thanking August and I and you, the favor of God of Israel at work here, folks. So go ahead and We took a picture of the note she wrote that's coming up later. So after that, we revisited the Malka Mall in Jerusalem. Another good spiritual fishing hole for planting gospel seed among the Jewish people. August and I met Yuval there, and she was very intrigued as we went over God's prophetic plan for Israel and how it centers around Yeshua, the Messiah. August and I convincingly demonstrated that the Tanakh and Brit Hadashah, written by Jews, is interconnected in so many ways, but the primary link, you know where I'm going with this, is the messianic connection of Yeshua of Nazareth. God chose Israel and through them gave us His word and salvation in His Son, Yeshua. Yuval was obviously open and agreed with our drosh that she was very touched and with repeated thanks gladly accepted a complete Hebrew Bible from us with messianic study material showing a Jewish person why Yeshua is the Messiah and should be believed in for salvation. Now, this next one was a powerful, mind-blowing example of God's providence, minutely fine-tuned and orchestrated. Let me tell you why I say that. So, after we shared and had good ministry with Yuval, our last gospel witness at the Malka Mall occurred with Max. See here, photoed with me, pictured with me. Max, a waiter at a cafe. Originally, August and I had planned to share the gospel with his co-worker, Yarden, but a language barrier and his seeming disinterest made us then focus on Max, who spoke perfect English. We heard him speak perfect English, and August and I looked at each other and said, maybe he's the one we should focus on instead of the other guy. Well, that's exactly what happened. Amazingly, Max told us, before he knew I was from Dallas, he told us he was from Dallas and lived there for 2 years when he was 6 years old to 8 years old. Now, why would he say that first? Why not just say, well, I'm from Israel and I did live in America briefly for 2 years? No, he began the conversation by saying he was from Dallas. But he only lived there for 2 years, from 6 years old to eight. God orchestrated and ordained that he should tell us this, and you know why. He told us this, yet he lived in Israel most of his life. Well, obviously this was a setup, a good one, for him to hear the gospel, because he and I were both from Dallas. I told him I was from Dallas, Texas, too. Now, I ask you, what are the odds in a city of 900,000 people in Jerusalem, living in the nation of Israel with 9.5 million people, that we would meet Max, who once lived in Dallas? It just blew our minds. This was not chance or coincidence or luck, but the divine appointment of the Lord. This no doubt opened a wide door for us to share the gospel with Max and the prime benefits of salvation in Messiah Jesus, the prime benefits that He freely gives to those who believe in Him. We told them they are the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. A new life by spiritual new birth, John 1:1-8. And eternal life, John 3:16. And a home in heaven with God the moment we die, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Needless to say, Max accepted the Hebrew Bible from us and secured it in his backpack, thanking us for the great news we brought to him in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. And he is set to go in the army next month. So pray for Max, for his safety, and pray that when he's on the front lines, the Holy Spirit will whet his appetite to read the scriptures we gave him, and that he will put his trust in Yeshua for salvation. Well, the next day we hit the streets of Jerusalem, focusing our ministry on Ben Yehuda Street and the thoroughfares and streets around it. The Lord gave us an opportunity to share the Word of God with the poor, homeless people who live on the streets. We also visited, before I just told you that, the Siloam Pool, where the Lord Jesus healed the man born blind, John chapter 9. They excavated this place in 2004. Excavated it for almost 20 years. It's now open to the public. So we went there and did a YouTube teaching on John chapter 9. We'll have to hurry because I think I can get all of this done before our time runs out. There are some of the original steps where the Jewish people would go into. The Pool of Siloam was a mikveh. They would go in, immerse themselves so that they could be ritually cleansed to enter into the temple. This is located on the ancient hill called the City of David. And you see the explanation here. But it was originally built 2,700 years ago with Hezekiah's tunnel, which you could direct water from the Gihon Spring underneath the city. And Hezekiah had that built during the siege of the Assyrians and King Sennacherib, which we'll get to later. Okay, go ahead. And there are some of the original steps that existed during Jesus' time. And the pool would be over here. They're still excavating that part of it. There you go. The original steps. John chapter 9. All right. And this is the excavation, the pool area they're currently excavating. And this is... they think the original, not the original, but a copy of the floor tiles that were on the floors of the courtyards of the Second Temple. So I decided to take a picture of that. Yeah. And this is Kinneret's message to us. Remember I told you about her? It was a pleasure meeting you both. I hope that you will keep enjoying or stay with us. I'm happy to offer you a coffee and cake voucher that you can get in the bar and dairy restaurant on the fourth floor, which is the lounge. So again, that's favor. All right, so as I said, we also spend a day ministering with the poor homeless people who live on the streets. One particular elderly man by the name of Yovkov comes to mind. August Rosado and I spotted him in the distance on busy Jaffa Road. We decided to give him a few dollars and give him hope in the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah. August and I approached him to give him some money. With that money, we told Yaakov that Yeshua loves him and died for his salvation. Upon hearing this, Yaakov joyfully replied, "Yeshua, yes," and then he pointed up to the sky. He eagerly accepted the alms, but more importantly, accepted the complete Hebrew Bible from us to see God's redemptive love laid out in Scripture, vouchsafed in Yeshua for him. So some 20 minutes later, August and I walked into a swatch store where we met a very pleasant and receptive owner of the shop. Her name was Maya. She was glad to hear how we often come to Israel to bring God's work back to the Jewish people that they originally gave to the world. We suspect she might have been Orthodox because of the dress. We shared with Maya that the Word of God contains certain eternal, immutable, and unconditional covenants whereby God redeems, loves, protects, and preserves Israel as a nation forever. Our focus was on the Berit Chadashah, the new covenant God made with Israel through Yeshua the Messiah. We mentioned Jeremiah 31:31 through 34 with Hebrews 10:15 and 17. Maya was open to learn this as we shared from both testaments of Scripture how God accomplished this and did this during the first coming, ratified this new covenant when the Messiah Jesus came the first time. We offered a Hebrew Bible with both testaments to give to Maya that she might have a complete picture of this redemptive covenant. Maya had no qualms accepting this gift from us and thanked us for our words and God's word about the messenger of the new covenant, who is both Savior and Lord and the covenant-saving God, Malachi 3:1, the covenant-saving God on all those who put their trust in Yeshua for salvation. So our last full day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem for the 53rd gospel outreach went very well. This is the broad wall, real quick. That's in the middle of the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem. This was built by Hezekiah. He demolished houses along there, and he built this broad wall as a reinforcement in light of the Assyrian invasion. Isaiah 36 and 37, we did a teaching there. And of course, God miraculously spared Jerusalem by sending one angel to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. So much for God being this nice, fuddy-duddy, lovey God. He also acts in judgment, too. And he sent an angel to kill Sennacherib's army because Sennacherib dared blaspheme against the God of Israel through Rabshakeh, his commanding officer. We did a teaching. It's on YouTube, on August's YouTube page. You can check that out. All right, so our last day of ministry in Jerusalem, we went to visit a mall near the German colony. The German colony is where most American Jews who immigrate to Israel go and live. At first, our attempts of ministry in the mall were preempted by several persons seeming to be unfriendly or openly rude. It was the most bizarre thing. You'd go in there, "What do you want?" You know, it's like, wow, this is something. So we did not feel led to say anything to these people. So we prayed for about an hour and a half, half an hour, asking God to break this wall of hardness and resistance. So after 30 minutes of praying to the Lord, a door for gospel ministry finally opened with a young Israeli Jewish man, Maoz. He was working in a bookstore. August and I broached the subject with him of how every Israeli chain bookstore should carry Hebrew Bibles that include the New Testament. This is what we do. We'll go into bookstores saying that, and it's a great preamble for a gospel witness. Well, we told him that, and Maoz agreed in principle, but warned us that such a policy would create tremendous controversy, especially among the Orthodox Jews. From this topic, we were able to pique Maoz's interest in wanting to read the New Testament with the Old Testament together to learn more about Yeshua the Messiah. He therefore accepted a Hebrew Bible from us as a gift for Passover so he can behold in its sacred pages the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1, 29 and 36. Shortly thereafter, We met a very spirited lady by the name of Jen working in the perfume section of a pharmacy store. She wanted us to try some men's cologne. The Holy Spirit used this for an opportunity to share the gospel with her. She was a professing Muslim. Jen believed humans are basically good, and this good can redeem us in the end. August and I civilly and politely disagreed with her, pointing out we are all born with a propensity to sin, which we inherited from our federal head, Adam, Romans 5. That sin, which is violating God's law, condemns and separates us from God. This is why God's Son, Jesus of Nazareth, came into the world to be our Savior from sin. Naturally, Muslims like Jen don't believe God has a son. And she balked at this and said Jesus was only a prophet. Using simple biblical logic, we proposed to Jen that since she believes Jesus to be a prophet of God, he would never lie. Prophets, true prophets of God, don't lie. She agreed. So we then revealed to her Jesus frequently called himself the Son of God. Of God throughout the Gospels, particularly John 5, verses 16 through 27. Thus, if he is a true prophet like she accepts, he told the truth about being the Son of God. Otherwise, if he was not the Son of God, he would be a false prophet. And the Spirit of God shut her down. The conversation got spirited, and it seemed Jen was not interested in receiving a copy of the Scriptures from us. I must confess, in a moment of weakness, when she wasn't going to receive it, I couldn't help myself. I turned away and I said, "There goes the record." But again, it's not about records, is it? But August, the funny thing happened in the midst of our conversation with Jen. August and I saw her soften up as the Holy Spirit used our inescapable logic concerning the sonship of Jesus as both prophet and son of God, so much so that she ended up taking the Bible from us in the end, thanking us for our enlightening conversation. We saw her change, do a 180 in front of us. My friend, that's the power, persuading power of the Holy Spirit at work. At the end of the day, the Lord had us also minister to another Muslim man working at a public parking place near the garden tomb of the risen Savior. The man's name was Nidal. We told him about what Yeshua did for him and what he did to save him from the penalty of sin. He too received the scriptures from us with an Arabic gospel tract. There he is, right there. All right, moving on. Yeah, that's the Shrine of the Book Museum. That is a copy of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of Isaiah. Dates 150 years before the birth of Christ. This is the garden tomb where is alleged Jesus rose from, as opposed to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, another alternate site for he rose. Well, I don't really have time to get into that, but there is some good, compelling evidence that this could very well be the likely place. It stood during the time of Jesus. The tomb was owned by a rich man because most people were buried in common graves. And there was, right before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., there was a garden there that was taken over by the Romans. Okay, that's Jerusalem at night, Mount of Olives, Church of the Ascension. This is where Jesus will come back. According to the prophet Zechariah, his feet shall touch in that day. On the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives will split in two. Okay, let's quickly... Okay. All right. So August and I made the 4-hour drive from Jerusalem to Eilat, a city located in extreme southern Israel on the Red Sea. Before leaving Jerusalem, however, God opened a door for us to share the good news of Esau with two Arab Muslim workers at the Dan Jerusalem. That's Ibrahim there. And the other gentleman was Hatim, and that's in the following picture. There's Hatim right there. That's an old friend of August. Now he owns a gift shop there. But so we shared with Ibrahim and Hatim. August and I boldly declared to both of them that Jesus is the only way to God as His only unique Son. Supreme over all, salvation only comes through Him, Acts 4:12. Amazing, these two open Muslim Arabs heard this without wincing and further joyfully received two Bibles and Arabic gospel tracts from us. We're almost finished here. Once in Eilat, August and I made our custom, and this is going down there. That's Mount Nebo where Moses is buried. That's in the wilderness of Zin, which the children of Israel traveled through there. All right, well, once we got to Eilat, we customarily visit the Ice Mall. August and I had the opportunity to witness about Yeshua the Messiah to Mer. He was eager to hear that the Messiah is centrally revealed in both testaments of the Jewish Bible. And with that, Mer had no problem learning about this more from a complete Jewish study Bible this ministry gave him. Minutes later, three young Israeli men called us over to their phone kiosk, wanting to know if we wanted to buy a phone. We politely declined, but August and I used this opportunity to share the gospel with Itai, Shai, and Toby. We rehearsed for them the biblical record of God's calling, protection, and preservation of the Jewish people throughout history, Isaiah 43:1-5. Most importantly, we told these young men God has sent the Messiah the first time to Israel, and the Jewish Bible reveals Him to be none other than Yeshua of Nazareth. It is He that forms the bridge and indivisible connection between the two testaments of the Hebrew Bible. All three men were happy and open to hear and receive the words of salvation from us. August and I then told them we wanted to give them the gift of a complete Bible accompanied with Messianic gospel tracts to help them see and believe this. As we were witnessing to them and sharing with them, their rabbi came up at this time and shook hands with them, but their rabbi did not give us any grief over this. Thank you, Lord, for your favor and protection so that we can victoriously carry out this gospel ministry without formidable opposition in Israel. So then the last day of this outreach came too fast. But praise God for a fruitful day of ministry to complete the 53rd gospel outreach to Israel. After breakfast in a lot, we were led to visit a gift shop at the Leonardo Plaza Hotel. Inside, we met an elderly lady. Her name was Mimi. She was excited to hear the good news of salvation from the Word of God about what Yeshua the Savior did for her. She was so touched when we gave her a complete Hebrew Bible and Messianic Gospel tracts that she crossed both of her hands over her heart and repeatedly thanked us for our gospel message and the Word of God given to her. Next, we had a powerful gospel ministry with Anita, a hotel security guard. The Lord led us to lavish on her the great love of the God of Israel, revealed to Israel and the world when He sent His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, in these last days to die as the Kippurah for our sins. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. We pulled out a copy of a complete Jewish Bible, pointed to it and said, "It's all in here. And we want you to have a copy of your own." Anita was so touched at receiving the gift of God's Word that she nearly teared up. She was fighting back the tears when she accepted the Scriptures from us. About 10 minutes later, another powerful Holy Spirit gospel witnessing encounter occurred with Natalie. She, too, was so touched at giving her the Hebrew Bible and Messianic Gospel tracts that she indicated that she got goosebumps all up and down her arm. Natalie was so awed by the Word, she was speechless and deeply moved to accept the Scriptures and the Gospel in them from us. That was powerful. Later in the day, we saw Michal, and this really broke our hearts. Michal was a street person and probably doesn't have too much long to live. He was just in just pitiful shape. So our hearts broke over this. Our hearts were grieved at this sight. Filled with the love and compassion of Jesus, August and I approached Michal and gave him some shekels. But we reinforced this by telling this infirmed man Yeshua died to save him and redeem him in God's love. We exhorted him to turn to Him from sin, and He will reveal Himself through God's Word to you, given in the Tanakh and the Berit Chadashah. Michal clasped our hands and gave us a heartfelt thank you, and he took a Bible from us and placed it in his backpack. We watered, and now may God give the increase on all these precious Jewish and Arab souls. We watered, and now may God give the increase, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 8. And with that, beloved, the glorious 53rd gospel outreach in Israel was completed with no rejections. Our second perfect outreach in this new year. And it's all, again, for the glory of God and Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So that is it. And folks, you know, those of you watching on Facebook, we will, God willing, embark on this ministry's 54th gospel outreach from June 19th to July 3rd. And not everyone can go to Israel and bring the gospel to the Jew first over there, but you can partner with us and support us. And in doing so, you, in spirit, by the Holy Spirit, go with us. And so we humbly ask that you consider not only praying for this end time ministry, but support it. And you can do that by going to our donate link there below the title of tonight's message. And we also, of course, have our newsletter, Search the Scriptures. Our last outreach in October was a perfect outreach. We went 36-0. This outreach we just completed is the second consecutive gospel outreach. We went 37-0. I have had five perfect outreaches in carrying out this long time of ministry in Israel. I've been doing it for 23 years, and I had one that was in 2015. The other four have been with August Rosado. So you know what the odds are. the odds of even having one perfect outreach, if you were to count it by odds, is astronomical. Now we've had two. Will there be a third straight one? Who knows? But the most important thing is that most of the people over there are open to hear the gospel, receive God's word, and the Ruach HaKodesh will use that. And perhaps after the rapture of the church, I've always said that maybe our witness will help form the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will preach the gospel throughout the world. Well, we thank you for being here. We thank you for listening. And until next Shabbat, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.